wherever we are, however far apart we are, connected in that one Spirit. This is an experiment with us. We are definitely surfing the wave of the Holy Spirit. We've never done this before. This is going to be a fun adventure for us. We've never live streamed. So we'll just explore this together and have a good time with it. I am very grateful for Wayne and Susan Lasante and the hours that they've put into putting this together and making it work. And so if it doesn't work, it's not their fault. They've been trying really hard. As we begin today, I invite you to pray with me. God of grace, you are present in this time and place, in every time and place. This creation, all of it, is within you. Wherever we are, however isolated from each other we might be in space, in spirit, we are here in you. And we give you thanks. We ask your blessing on this time together, that it might be a time not only through technology but through your Spirit that we can deeply connect with one another, with you, with all creation. We ask your blessing on this time for us together. We give thanks for your presence, and we give our hearts to you. Amen. As we proceed in this adventure, if you have prayer requests that you have for us, a little bit later we'll have a prayer time. There's a number right at the bottom of this screen you can text, and we will share your prayers together. We're in this bizarre situation because of the coronavirus, and we're all isolated, and because of that, it's a little unnerving. We're a little uncertain. In times like this, it's good to hear some poetry. Let's hear a poem from Wendell Berry.
The Peace of Wild Things. When despair grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Across the barren desert, I shall know.
So, it's time for my favorite part, which is the children's time. Even if the children aren't right here in my lap, you're still there. You're out there. I know, because every Sunday, the room is full of children, some of whom are 5 and some of whom are 55. But there's all these kids. We are all the kids of God gathered around. And here we are doing this really weird thing. There's a story that we're going to hear in a minute about the Hebrews when they escaped from slavery in Egypt. And they were wandering around in the wilderness and they were thirsty and they didn't know what. And they were kind of a little scared and pretty confused, which is maybe like people feel now. And they were a little worried about what was going to happen next. And they were whining about it. And Moses said to God, "What am I going to do with these people? They're whining." And God said, "Well, make sure you're not whining." And Moses said, "Oh, sorry. What am I going to do about these people? They are unhappy." And God said, "I have an idea. Take your stick and go hit a rock, and then there will be water." Now that is a really dumb idea. There's no water in rocks. But you know what? You wait and listen to the story and see what happens. See if Moses did that crazy thing. Because here we are doing this really crazy thing. We're going to strike the rock. We're going to pretend like we know what we're doing when we do this little live stream, and we don't actually know how it's working. Here's the thing. I have this funny little microphone on. And because I'm wearing this microphone, you can hear me. And there's a camera, so you can see me. So I'm just sort of imagining that everything I'm saying, you're listening to. It's kind of like magic. Well, what if we don't have a microphone? And what if there's no camera? What if we're in a scary place and we're not quite sure what's going on? And we're not quite sure what God wants us to do? Maybe God thinks that we could do something really sort of crazy and get away with it. Because God is in it. God wants to help us do the right thing. And you don't need a microphone or a camera in order for God to help you to love people. That's the cool thing. Love doesn't need a microphone or a camera. It doesn't need an internet. You can love even when it's scary, even when you're not quite sure what's going to happen next. You can still love. Because I think there might be water in those rocks. All we have to do is do what God says. So let's worship together and see if that's true. Let's say a prayer first. You can pray with me if you want. Let's pray. God, help me to love even when it seems kind of crazy. Let's pray that together. God, help me to love even when it seems kind of crazy. Amen. Let's hear a psalm together. This is Psalm 46.
All right. God is our refuge and strength,
a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear. Though the mountains shaking, the earth should change, though the waters roar and foam, tremble, and earth
the mountains tremble with its tumult,
the earth should change.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter.
God utters a voice. The earth melts. The God of the universe is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Holy One.
See what desolations God has brought on the earth.
God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still.
Be still
and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
I am powerful over the nations. I am exalted in earth.
The Holy One is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.
A reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as God commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test your God?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to God, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." God said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
When we hear that scripture, it certainly makes us want to remember in times of trial that God will provide. There are these Israelites out there in the wilderness and they're pretty worried, and God says, "Don't worry, I've got this." But imagine what it's like to be Moses. He doesn't know how to strike a rock and produce water, but he does it anyway. I think times like this, when we're challenged with something new, like this social distancing of staying clear of the coronavirus, times when we have to navigate our lives differently, we want to be reassured that everything's going to be okay. And it's like this story says to me, yeah, it's going to be okay, but you're going to need to do something different. There's water, but you're going to have to strike the rock. You're going to have faith that there's something there that you can't see. You're going to have faith that I'm calling you to do something that you don't actually know how to do. Do it anyway. I think God's reassurance frequently has this hook in it, this little invitation. This is a poem I wrote called "Strike the Rock." When it's hard and you don't know how, and the need exceeds your capacity, it isn't yours that matters. It's God's. When your emptiness looms, your terrible weakness dominates, when you are an empty water jug, then perfect. You are ready as a vessel for the mystery of God. When there is no hope and you are in a wilderness without drink, strike the rock. The water comes from beyond your imagining. Yes, there is no water. And besides, you don't know how to strike the rock. Yes, strike the rock anyway. When you are called upon to serve beyond what is humanly possible, trust this child of God and strike the rock. Desert rock, hush. Behold, there is water in you. Listen as you hear together the good news from John's Gospel in the 4th chapter.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Shire, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus spoke to her.
Give me a drink.
How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans.
If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?
Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water.
Go, call your husband and come back.
I have no husband.
You are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.
Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem.
Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. For this is the kind of worship Abba God seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth.
I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
I am he, the one who is speaking to you.
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She spoke to the people.
Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Can this be the Messiah?
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something."
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
The disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat."
"My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete God's work."
Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. I want to think about that story backwards for a minute. I want to start at the end. The woman brings out all these people from the village who believe in Jesus because of what she said. Somehow, she's been a powerful communicator, one of the very first Christian evangelists. Now, evangelism is a tough word for a lot of us Methodists because we think of it as pounding on people's doors and telling them that they're supposed to believe in Jesus. But notice what the woman did. I don't know that she told about anything that they needed to do. She said, "This is my experience." And she communicated what she had of her own life in a way to them that made them want to come meet Jesus. She drew them closer to him so that they experience Jesus for themselves. That's a pretty powerful kind of evangelism. To be able to share with people in such a way that they can experience the love of God embodied. How did she get there? Well, an interesting thing is if we read this story backwards and we turn back a page, you'll notice that the woman left her water jug and went into the city. She left it because she knew she was coming back. She had a purpose in mind. She was going to tell those people what she'd experienced and then bring them back with her. Why did she know that? Well, if we turn back the page another, before that what happened is she had this nice long theological discussion with Jesus. In fact, this conversation is the longest conversation Jesus has with anybody in the Gospels. He really gets into it with this woman, talking back and forth about theology and worship and the difference between what the Jews and the Samaritans thought, exchanging these different perspectives, kind of as if she's a rabbi. That's how they would relate, you know. You discuss, you dispute, you work things through. Which is kind of amazing because if you turn back the page, what happened before that is the woman discloses that she's had 5 husbands. Now, we often think of this as some moral failing on her part. But in that culture, women didn't have the power to initiate a marriage or a divorce. She's entirely at the mercy of men. So what this means is that she's been used and thrown away 5 times. And now she's with some guy who's willing to use her, but not claim her, not offer at least the stability and the survival of a marriage. She has really been abused. And the amazing thing is, Jesus says, oh, okay, and then goes right on with this theological discussion. He doesn't judge her. He has this way of looking at the whole person, not just this one outstanding fact. We know it's outstanding, because if you turn back a page, all the way to the very beginning of the story, John mentions, this is at noon. Now, in that culture, just like a lot of times still in many places in the world, the woman, it was always the woman, who had to go out early in the morning and get water for the day's cooking and washing. Well, you want to get there first when the water is cold and clear and it's in time for breakfast. But there is a bit of a social pecking order about who's in line where. And obviously, she is way at the back of the bus, at the end of the line, if she can't come to the well till noon. She's a loser. Nobody likes her. She's got this stigma. She's got this bad reputation that the whole community knows about, and they're all enforcing it. It's a different kind of social distancing. It's a kind that we practice actually all the time. We figure out our place in the line and who's ahead of us and who's behind us and who deserves to go first. And the amazing thing is Jesus skips all of that. He just looks at her as a person, not as a status. He doesn't look at her as a Samaritan, as a divorced woman. No labels, no judgments, just a person. And what he sees is the whole person, not just this person who's been divorced, but a person who's a powerful communicator, a person who's spiritually thirsty. That's the level that he connects with her on. And that's the level that she then assumes. She becomes the person that he sees in her. He sees her into wholeness. And she turns from this outcast, this loser, this back of the bus, we don't want to see you person, to somebody who is at the center of her village. And they listen to her. She speaks with authority. They come after her. They follow her out to the well to meet Jesus. I like that. I think Jesus invites us to look at one another that way. I think this Lenten season, maybe a spiritual practice that we can take on, is to listen. Jesus really listens to her. He listens so deeply that he can tell in the tone of her voice before she even says it that she's got a lot of heartbreak. He can tell that before she even tells him, because he's such a good listener. What if in this time of increased isolation, we practice increased listening? Listen to each other without all our judgments, without our opinions. Listen them into whole human beings, the way God listens us to us and hears us into our wholeness, sees us so that we can become the people that God actually creates us to be. I want to sing a song. I always want to sing a song. Came to the water that day, weak and wanting. I brought my broken heart, hiding, haunting. I brought a jug of shame, and you drank it dry. Emptied it out, filled it with love to bless and purify. What a jug, jug of your kindness poured out for me. What a jug, spring of life, it set me free. You talked of faith with me, religious preferences. In love you shared with me, despite all of our differences. You saw without my telling, deep into my soul. You saw the gift in me, you saw me whole. What a jug, jug of your kindness poured out for me. What a jug, river of life, you set me free. From the deepest well you drew, from the precious spring, you gave me what satisfied more than anything. And you tell me that this spring is welling up in me, flowing with life-giving grace from God eternally. Now I know there is in me a deep unfailing well. I'm no longer hiding, I have good news to tell. There is a river now, a spring of joy in me, a stream of God's life-giving spring that flows eternally. What a joy, jug of your kindness poured out for me. What a jug, river of life, you set me free. Jesus says, those who drink of the water I give them, in them that water will gush up as a spring welling up to eternal life. That's the Spirit of God that's in us, flowing out through us into all the world. That's the Spirit in which we pray with one another and for one another and for all the world. They're not really our prayers. We're just the vessels. God flows through us. Let us pray.
Let us pray. We pray for those on our prayer calendar this week: Annie Polk, Karen, Chris, and Sebastian, Josephine and Nathan Ramos, and Roberto Pizarro, Carolyn Raposo, Westford UMC, and Reverend Suk Kwan Hong. May your will be done in their lives. We pray for all those whose health is affected by the coronavirus and those who are at risk. We pray for those whose lives or income are disrupted. May your grace sustain them. We pray for healthcare workers, especially those who endure extraordinary risk or sacrifice to serve others. May your spirit guide them. We pray for those who will be especially isolated in these weeks. May your love move us to reach out to our neighbors, to stay connected with each other, and to be a source of hope and help for those who are afraid. May your love enfold them. We pray for a spirit of sharing and cooperation among neighbors, communities, and nations as we face the pandemic together. May your wisdom guide us. We pray for all those who feel rejected, shamed, or looked down upon. May your grace lift them up. May we see your glory in even those who are judged as lowly. May your gifts shine in them. We pray for each person watching this service. We ask your blessing for all the people of St. Matthew's. We pray for your church around the world, that we may overcome all judgments and divisions and be the body of your love. Strike the rock of your church, God, that the water of justice may flow from us. May your love move us. We pray for the healing of the world, for the healing of the coronavirus, and for the virus of greed and selfishness, the virus of violence and fear. We pray for peace among all people. We pray for the care of our creation. We long for the coming of your empire of grace. May your will be done among us.
We've been inviting people to text in their prayer requests, and we have quite a few. And I'm going to invite Cal to go over and light some of our prayer candles every time we pray for some of these. Prayers of gratitude for Wayne and Susan, Pastor Steve and this morning's rock team for striking a rock and bringing us this morning's worship, even though we're at a safe distance. May we always work together to do your will and bring your love into the world. This is my prayer. Prayers for the Nims family, praying that our traveling family members will be safe, praying that the coronavirus will have a minimal impact on our community. This is so wonderful, hearing all these prayers. Pray for those who are too afraid to ask for help during this time of need. This is their prayer. The Gerges family sends blessings and thanks to Pastor Steve and Pastor Beth. And Beth, you're being outed. Today is Beth Garnes Holmes' 70th birthday. Happy birthday, Beth.
Happy birthday.
Prayers and thanks to Susan and Wayne for getting our service online, and continuing prayers from Susan and Wayne that it will continue to work now and then, and all the people who came to be at church today for us. Let's see. I pray that the church website and stream will start working again. Yes, I share in that prayer. Zeke and Owen and Ben say hello and thank you for this church. Thank God for Zeke and Owen and Ben. Marie Mahacek, a prayer of thanksgiving. Her brother Merle has successfully moved to the Iowa Veterans Home March 4th, just before the COVID-19 began to spread rapidly. I am so grateful he is in a place where he is receiving loving support and services in a safe environment during this uncertain time. I pray for all who are working to protect the most vulnerable. This is my prayer. Maggie says, I pray for those who are so scared that they feel they need to stock up on things like toilet paper and hand sanitizer. May they be healthy. Nancy, first, prayers that the live stream will reconnect. Prayers for patience for all of you who are trying to hope that this works. Also for Kayla, as she is self-quarantined on vacation with friends in Wisconsin. She found out a UVM friend just got a presumptive positive test. She's feeling fine so far at day 10 since her last interaction with him. Prayers for Kayla. And are there more? Tori says, my prayers for this morning's live stream go out to all the thousands of homeless, especially the elderly, especially when empty buildings outnumber the homeless 5-1. A population that will suffer greatly in the coming weeks and months since parks and public restrooms are all being closed. And there's no public response, healthcare response for this segment of our society. And I could have sworn I saw another one. Pray for Missoula, Montana, as we have our first cases of coronavirus, and for Jacob, who is recovering from the flu. And we're still getting them. Prayers for my brother Roger. For all these prayers, God, we ask your grace. We trust your love. And we give you thanks. Amen.
As a trusting child turns to her mother, we turn to you. And pray as Jesus taught us to pray, asking you always to teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Amen.
hold you in our hearts and our prayers, all of you wherever we are, as we have shared in this time together. We don't have much in the way of announcements. It's not a Methodist worship service without an offering and an announcement, right? So here's the offering. Take your pledge envelope and put a stamp on it and mail it in. And here are the announcements. Let's see. One is that I encourage you to stay online, check your email. I mean, you don't have to stay online this moment, but throughout the week, stay on and watch for things, because you will be, this is how we'll communicate, by email and whatnot. So let's stay in touch with each other. This recording, this service, at least the audio of it, will be on the web shortly, so that if you missed it or if your friend missed it and you want to sit down and listen to it together, you can do that. You'll be able to find it on the website. We also have one very important special announcement to make from our Staff Parish Relations Committee, who is patiently waiting.
Good morning. This is Susan Lasante, and I am really pleased for Staff Parish Relations Committee to announce that Josh Lundy Whitler has accepted the job of Director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministries. His starting date will be April 1st. Josh has his PhD in Theology and Education from Boston College and a Master's of Divinity from Fuller Theological Seminary in California. He has 15 years of ministry experience, including time where he was a pastor and led children's education, where he also led children and adult discipleship, and 3 years as a youth pastor. More information about Josh will be available in the weekly news. Thank you for your prayers in this process, and please welcome Josh when he begins with us. Thank you.
Dearly beloved siblings in Christ, the Spirit of God is in you, a stream, an ever-flowing well, a spring gushing up to eternal life. Strike the rock of your own heart and find love and dare to spread it. Go in peace and serve God with joy. Amen. Let's sing.
May the grace.